ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय।
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 विष्णु सहस्रनाम verse number 60 Bhagavan Bhagahanandi
Bhagavan Bhagahanandi
Vanamali Halayudhaha
Vanamali Halayudhaha
Adityo Jyotiraditya
Adityo Jyotiraditya
Sahishnur Gati Sattamaha Bhagavan Bhagahanandi
Bhagavan Bhagahanandi
Vanamali Halayudhaha
Vanamali Halayudhaha
Adityo Jyotiraditya
Adityo Jyotiraditya
Sahishnur Gati Sattamaha
Sahishnur Gati Sattamaha.
The first name in this verse, name 563 of Sri Vishnu Sahasranama, is Bhagavan, which obviously is a very important name. It's a general term, more than a name, it's a title for the Supreme Lord, commonly used. This name and Ishvara and Prabhu, these three names, in my experience, are commonly used when people are talking to mean this, what in English we say is God. What exactly is their conception of God? That may differ from person to person. But that's the general term. Probably Bhagavan is the one that is most widely used. It's a very important term. It often comes up, of course, in Bhagavad Gita, Sri Bhagavan Uvacha, the Supreme Lord said, Supreme Personality of Godhead said. Srila Prabhupada pointed out that Vyasadeva could have written Sri Krishna Uvacha, but Vyasadeva specifically wanted to stress that the speaker is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And this is, this text, Bhagavad Gita, is known as Bhagavad Gita, the Song of God, not Krishna Gita, for instance. It could have been called Krishna Gita. Or it could have been called Arjuna Gita, in as much as what we know as Uddhava Gita was spoken by Krishna to Uddhava. Now, in Bhagavad Gita, the first use of this term, Bhagavan, comes just at the beginning of the second chapter, in the second verse of the second chapter. And Srila Prabhupada gives quite an extensive purport to that verse to explain the meaning of the name Bhagavan, the significance of this name. It's not just arbitrarily put there. He does so in three ways, citing three shastric definitions or quotations regarding Bhagavan. So the first, in that purport, Srila Prabhupada first of all discusses the verse. They're all well-known verses for followers of Srila Prabhupada because he discusses them often. The first is Vadanti tat tatva vidas tatvam yad jnanam advayam brahmeti paramatmeti bhagavan iti shabhyate. That persons who are knowers of the truth describe it in different ways, as Brahman, the impersonal aspect of the Supreme, Paramatma, the localized aspect of the Supreme, and Bhagavan, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And Srila Prabhupada gives in that purport to explain that. The example of the sunshine, the sun globe, and the sun god. You can say they are the sun. Just like we might say the sun is not very bright today. The sun is just as bright as every day. But the sun's rays are, to our vision, obstructed to some extent by clouds. So if we say the sun is not very bright today, actually we refer to the sun rays. So that's like refer Brahman, considering the Supreme to be impersonal, that is, that comes to Brahman realization. And Paramatma, that's something like seeing the sun. Of course, generally we don't look at the sun, but on a hazy day we can do so. Or as the sun is rising or setting, we can do so. At any other time, it would be potentially or actually harmful to the eyes. So that is like Paramatma realization, more specific, but not with all specifics. And Bhagavan realization is to understand that within the sun is the personality of the sun god. So specific understanding of his personality. So this Bhagavan realization is the highest. Now, that's important to understand because often people think that Krishna is speaking and he's called Bhagavan, but he is a representation or a manifestation of the ultimately impersonal absolute truth. But by discussing this, Srila Prabhupada explains that this is not the proper understanding. Now, the second point Srila Prabhupada makes, without quoting the verse at this particular, in this particular place, in this purport, is the definition of Bhagavan given in Vishnu Purana. Aishvaryasya samagrasya viryasya yashasya shriyaha gyanavairagya yoschaiva shannang bhaga itingana. One who has got these bhagas in full. Bhaga means quality or opulence. So one who has got those in full, he can be called Bhagavan. One of the opulences is Aishvarya, which means opulence, or literally means the quality of ruling over others. Aishvarya, samagrasa, one who has it in full. Then power, fame, beauty, knowledge, and detachment. One who has all these qualities in full can be called Bhagavan. This is also the interpretation or definition that our Gaurīya Vedānta Acharya, Sri Baladev Vidyābhūṣan, he has given to this name Bhagavan. He who is replete with six opulences in full. And in this regard, Srila Prabhupada quotes another well-known verse, which doesn't actually include the word Bhagavan. This is from the Brahma Samhita. Ishvara Parama Krishna Satyadananda Vigraha Anadir Ardir Govinda Sarva Karana Karanam. Now, Srila Prabhupada gives a specific translation to this verse here, which he doesn't give elsewhere. He writes, there are many personalities possessing the qualities of Bhagavan, but Krishna is the supreme because none can excel him. He is the supreme person and his body is eternal, full of knowledge and bliss. He is the primeval Lord Govinda and the cause of all causes. So, this is important how Srila Prabhupada has worded this here. That there are many personalities possessing the qualities of Bhagavan. And practically we can say, almost everyone has got some ability to control others, or some wealth, some power, some fame, some beauty, some knowledge, renunciation. Yeah, I suppose everyone has to some extent, not that everyone's extraordinarily greedy. So everyone has these qualities, but only Krishna can be said to have them in full. Now this is important because, again, Srila Prabhupada is equating Bhagavan with Krishna. So this is a very important point of our Gaudiya understanding. It's a very important point of our Gaudiya understanding to be absorbed in your fingers and pick them during class, which suggests that you're not very interested in the class. So it doesn't give me... it's a very important point of Gaudiya understanding. Central point, you could say, is to accept that Krishna is the full-fledged personality of Godhead. And in that sense, superior even to Narayana. Now, there are many people, when we say this, who will become upset. It's presented in Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita and other Gaudiya writings with all shastric evidence, and we don't want to fight with such people. But that is essential to our Gaudiya understanding. Not that Narayana is different from Krishna. He's not different and different also. That's achintya bheda bhedatva. So we may say, well, how can you say different and non-different? It's not logical to say that. But this is the inconceivability of the Supreme Lord. If we could understand everything about Him and think that now empirically we can understand Him, then He wouldn't be God at all. So all contradictions rest within Him. So this point that it's Krishna who is Bhagavan, Srila Prabhupada in this purport, to establish that, he quotes from Srimad Bhagavatam, Ete Changsha Kalapungsa Krishnas Tu Bhagavan Swayam Indrari Vyakalam Lokam Mridayanti Yuge Yuge. This verse comes after a list in the first canto, chapter 3 of Bhagavatam, a list of various avatars of the Lord who descend to this world, and Krishna, or Vyasadeva states, although all of these are said to be the expansions of the Purush, that means the Kshira Dakshai Vishnu, they're all expansions of Him. But still, Krishna is the Swayam Bhagavan, directly, personally, Bhagavan Himself. So all the forms, including Krishna, appear in this world as expansions of the Kshira Dakshai Vishnu. So how is that, if Krishna is the original form, then how is it that He appears through Kshira Dakshai Vishnu? Well, He does, but that doesn't mean that He doesn't exist independently and eternally, separate from Kshira Dakshai Vishnu. These are all very fine points to understand. Srila Prabhupada stresses this to establish that it's Krishna who is Bhagavan. Narayan Bhagavan, yes. Rama Bhagavan, yes. Sri Matsya, Kurma, Varaha, Narasimha, Vamana, yes, all Bhagavan. But Krishna too, but Krishna is the supreme or original or Swayam. I don't. He's of himself, Bhagavan. And whenever the planets are disturbed, planets beginning with those of Indra are disturbed, then he appears in this world. And that happens in every age. So Srila Prabhupada explains that Bhagavan means Krishna. And also in this purport, he makes the point what it means to be Bhagavan. Not that anyone can just call himself Bhagavan or allow himself to be called Bhagavan. There are so many bogus avatars in India. When Srila Prabhupada was present, and for quite some time afterwards, there was one particularly brazenly rascalish so-called avatar by the name of Sai Baba. They used to call him Bhagavan Sai Baba. Shameless, bold person. When challenged, he would say, his followers would say, no, he doesn't call himself Bhagavan, but he allows others to call him that. But he's not at all. I often used to joke that Bhagavan, one of his qualities is supreme beauty. So that definitely rules out Sai Baba, because he was quite spectacularly ugly. If you do a scale from 0 to 10 in beauty, he'd be somewhere in the minus field, actually. He's not at all beautiful, very ugly, very sinful-looking person. Of course, it's not necessary that everyone who has a contort or that kind of face is sinful. They can become devotees also. But you can't claim to be Bhagavan if you're ugly. He's the controller of nature, so why should he have an ugly body? He should be very beautiful. So it's Krishna, this is the point. It's Krishna, we should not neglect. And all this Vishnu Sahasranam, that should lead us to Krishna. We're discussing all of this so that we can appreciate Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Srila Prabhupada, he accepted this statement as a perfect way to preach. The first child born of disciples of Srila Prabhupada was called Saraswati. She was just a little girl when Srila Prabhupada was in India. She was also, her parents were traveling in India. She was maybe 6 or 7 years old. So Srila Prabhupada would ask her, Saraswati, who is God? And she would reply, Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And she would tell others that, and Srila Prabhupada said, well, that's perfect preaching. So, of course, in preaching there may be so many points we have to consider, but if we just tell others Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, this transcendental fact is perfect and complete in itself. So we should, this whole Vishnu Sahasranam is, from our perspective, Gaurya perspective, is to focus our mind on Krishna. In this regard, I'll just read a statement from Chaitanya Bhagavat, spoken by Sri Krishna, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Bolo Krishna, Bhaja Krishna, Gao Krishna Nam, Krishna Bino Keho Kichu Na Bhaviho Am. It's very straightforward to understand the meaning of this. Bolo Krishna. So, yeah, Krishna Chapandi. Yeah. Chant the name of Krishna. Chant Krishna, Bhaja Krishna, worship Krishna. Gao Krishna Nam, sing the name of Krishna. Krishna Binu, Keho Kichu Na Bhaveho. No one should think of any subject other than that of Krishna. In his commentary on this verse, Sri Bhaktisthan Sarasvati Thakur says, I'll read, By chanting the name of Krishna, one loses the qualification to speak on topics that are not related to Krishna. So people are very interested in becoming very qualified in engineering and technology and science. But if we chant the name of Krishna, we become disqualified to speak on such topics. And that's a fact, that we see people study all these things and then they become devotees, and then they say, well, I'm not going to give you a job. You become disciplined, parents become upset. But that is the fact. Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Thakur continues, if one sings the name of Krishna, his eternal happiness and that of all others increases. By worshipping the name of Krishna, one worships Krishna himself. Krishna is separate from objects that are seen through covered vision as superior to Krishna. In other words, if we see anything in this world and we think that's more important than Krishna, that's superior to Krishna, that is a mistake. Therefore, Siddhanta Saraswati continues, one must chant about Krishna, one must describe Krishna, and one must worship Krishna. One need not remember any word or name other than Krishna. For since all others are more or less separate from Krishna, they provide no opportunity for a living entity to achieve the complete auspiciousness of attaining Krishna. So another way he's saying, Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Thakur is saying, well, always think of Krishna. If we don't think of Krishna, then we'll think in a material way and our consciousness will become contaminated and we won't be qualified to understand Krishna. Now, the six attributes have of the Supreme Personality of God, which he has in full, that's the point. He has them in full. That means all wealth. Everyone can say, I have some wealth. How much wealth do you have? 50 crores? Little less. No, mostly devotees staying don't have any wealth. They've made their wealth Krishna Prema Dhan, the wealth of love of Krishna. So, okay, we may someone has 1 crore, but nowadays 1 crore is not so much. It used to be a big thing to be a crore party, but nowadays, in a big city like Hyderabad, you can hardly get even a plot of land to build a house on for 1 crore. So, all right, okay, someone has 1 or 2 crores. They have some wealth. Someone may have thousands of crores. I guess the Ambanis and the Birlas and Tatas, the thousands, maybe millions of crores of rupees. They're worth that, theoretically. Although, they're not particularly happy by having it. They can't eat any more chapatis than you do. You probably enjoy more prasadam than they do because you're working hard on the fields. Anyway, everyone's got something, whether you've got 2 paise or 2,000 crores, everyone has some wealth, but only Krishna has got all wealth. Aishwaryasya Samagrasya Viryasya, all power, everyone has some power. There's physical power. For instance, with physical power, someone can lift a very great weight. Weightlifters have weightlifting championships. Or there's also political power. Narendra Modi is by no means the most physically powerful person in India. He'll be way down the list if a list was to be made. He wouldn't be in the first million. But politically, he's the most powerful. So there's different kind of power. Virasya. Then fame. Everyone pretty much has heard of God. So he's the most famous. And beauty. He's the most beautiful eternally. He's the most knowledgeable. He knows everything. Everyone can say, I have some knowledge. But only Krishna has got all knowledge about everything. It's not possible to know everything about everything. It's not possible to know everything about anything. There's always something more to learn. But Krishna knows everything about everything. And Krishna is detached from everything. Even though he has all opulences, he's detached. So Krishna has all opulences in full, and those opulences are inherent in him. That's a very important point that Srila Prabhupada always makes. It's not that you can become Bhagavan by doing some austerity or some meditation or imagining yourself to be Bhagavan. There's some idea that you can do some sadhana or some meditation and then you become God. And in the Mayavadi Sampradaya, there's the idea that just by becoming a sannyasi, you become God. Dandagrahena matrena nara narayano bhavit, it's stated. It's half a shloka in Sanskrit. Don't believe everything that's in Sanskrit. Just because it's in Sanskrit doesn't mean that it's true. So the statement is that simply by accepting a stick, a man becomes Narayan, and this specifically refers to the sannyasi's rod, not any stick. It's not that the cowherd man with a stick in his hand chasing the cows is to be. He's also Ekadandi. He has a sing. He has the one danda, but that doesn't mean he becomes God. And even if one has a stick of a sannyasi, it also doesn't mean he becomes God. It's not possible for a man to become God, as is the common misconception. And Srila Prabhupada gives the example that even as a young child, before he'd learned to talk or walk, of course Krishna is always the supreme, but he takes the form of a child to enjoy loving pastimes with his devotees. So there was no time for Krishna to do any mantras to become God or any meditation. But he killed her who was impossible to be killed by any demigods because she herself was so powerful. But Krishna very easily killed her, which means that shows his power is superior to that of all the demigods who are all afraid of Putana. And it also shows that these extraordinary powers are inherent in him. He had them as a young baby. They're there always with him. He eternally exists. And his powers are always with him. So that's a very important point. One thing to understand also, there's a sign. You didn't see the sign on the door? Maybe I'll get back to that later. Let's just go through the six qualities. Just go through them quickly. Aishvarya, Srila Prabhupada translates this generally as having wealth or opulence. It is actually related to the word Ishvara, which means controller. So Aishvarya means the quality of being Ishvara, the quality of being the Lord of all, which includes being wealthy, of course. He controls and rules over everything at all time, and therefore he is the supreme. Someone can control to some extent and rule over things to some extent for some time, just like, again, the example of Narendra Modi, just using him as an example, because he is in a position whereby he represents the Supreme Personality of Godhead as the leader of the people and By the grace of God, he has got such a position. So he's able to control to some extent, not to a full extent. The people of India. He has that power. But the supreme personality of Godhead, he's always supreme. Narendra Modi has been prime minister there for what? How long now? 4 years?
Three years.
And then he may continue in the next election. If he's alive, if there is a next election, we can't say. Please close the door. So his power is limited by time. He has to get out of the post. He will die at some point in time. And you can't stick in the post. It's not possible. One person gets the karma, by his karma, he gets the position to take that post, and then again he has to leave it. So the one who is always supreme is Krishna. So, Aishwaryasya Samagrasya Viryasya, who has all virya, this means power, virility. So, virility means, I don't know what you'd say in Sanskrit. It means it often refers to sexual strength. It doesn't necessarily mean that, but it means with plenty of energy, energetic, vigorous. It's a similar word to being strong or powerful. Krishna has all power. He controls everything. By his wish, creation, maintenance, and destruction of the material worlds go on. He controls indirectly through the demigods. So in this way, he's all powerful. The idea given here that he's always victorious over any enemy. He's powerful in overseeing the material world, creation, destruction, in between maintenance. The living beings are coming from one body to another, so he orchestrates it all. But and also in any battle, Krishna is always victorious. So in that way, we see his virya, his energy, his might, his power. Then yasha means kirti or fame. Like I say, someone may be famous to some extent. Just like I'm more famous than any of you in this room. I'm known within the ISKCON world, but I'm not as famous as, again, Narendra Modi, to give the example. So we all have different levels of fame. But the one who is known most widely is Krishna. Even if people don't know his name as Krishna, they may say Allah or God, but he's well known. Yang Brahma Varanindra Rudra Maruta Stundanti Divyaistavaihi. All the great demigods, they glorify Krishna. So that's the meaning given here from the Taittiriya Aranyaka, that yasha means worthy of praise by all without exception. Everyone should praise him. There's no exception to this. Another meaning of the word yasha can be understood to mean one who is worthy to offer one's respect to. Full and complete respect. All the scriptures describe him. Vaidaisya Savaraham Eva Vedyaha. And they point to him as being God for all these qualities which are inherent in him. So he's famous, not whimsically or arbitrarily. He's actually fit to be praised by all because he has so many good qualities. Then Shri, here in this list, is taken as wealth. We generally take it as beauty. The Shri, she's always with him, residing on his chest, as the little curling mark on the chest, known as Srivatsa, the symbol of Lakshmi, on his chest. Then the beauty of the Lord. This is indescribable. It's unimaginable for us, as long as we're interested in the beauty of this world. We cannot imagine the beauty of Krishna. Generally, the great poets, they like to sing about the beautiful, especially the beautiful form of a woman. But they cannot understand Krishna. By mundane poetry, one may have some inspiration or some insight and explain that in poetry, but that doesn't reach up to Krishna, whose beauty is simply unimaginable to us in our present state of consciousness. Then his knowledge, Bhagavan knows everything, so how does he know? Does that mean he went to school for a long time? We hear some people, they have one PhD, they get another one, they get another one. How many PhDs do you have to know everything? It's not possible by accumulating knowledge. All knowledge is inherent in him. And we, by our own effort to try to become knowledgeable, we can get a little knowledge. And if someone has got a lot of knowledge or is very knowledgeable, we call him a pundit. Although actually, it's not possible for anyone to know anything but very, very, very little about anything concerning this material world or about Krishna. In the 15th chapter of Bhagavad Gita, Krishna, just at the end, Krishna says, Yomam eva samudho janati purushottamam sasaravavid bhajate mam. Sarva Bhavena Bharata. Krishna says, one who knows without doubting that I am the Supreme Personality of Godhead, that person knows everything in all respects. But we should understand that this, they don't understand in the same way that Krishna knows everything. Krishna knows everything. Vedaham samatitani vartamanani charjana bhavishani chabhutani mantavedana kastra. Krishna knows everything that has happened, past, present, and future. So, we can't even imagine the extent of his knowledge. Knowledge in full. And that is, again, intrinsic to himself. Not that he has to go to school or college to learn. Of course, Krishna did go to Gurukul. And in 64 days, he learned all the 64 arts, because he already knew them. But it appeared that he learned them to give favor to his guru, Sandipani Muni. But then again, it's said about Sandipani Muni that his task in relation to Krishna, in relation to educating Krishna, it was just like pouring water on the ocean, and it's the ocean that provides water via the sun. Then the clouds form and the rain comes down. So even though we get very nice fresh water from the clouds, ultimately it comes from the ocean. So Krishna is the ocean of all knowledge, And Sandipani Muni's teaching was offered to him. So what he has given us in Bhagavad Gita, that's not everything about everything. What we need to know, which is important in there, is that Krishna is supreme. We have to surrender to him, not to worship demigods, not take them as supreme. So these important points are all there in Bhagavad Gita. But it's only although it's the quintessence of all knowledge, it's not all the details, and that belongs to Krishna. And even many people may misunderstand what's in Bhagavad Gita. So we can only get perfect knowledge by Krishna's grace. So that's another important point to understand. Then, what else do we have here? Another understanding is that Bhagavan, he knows everything, past, present, and future. He knows the beginning and end of all living beings. He knows, now you've taken birth, a little later you have to die. And he knows also all spiritual knowledge, all material knowledge. He's a complete expert in everything. As far as knowledge is concerned, there's no one who can come anything close to him. Because he gives the Vedas and the supplementary Vedic knowledge. Even to study all of that is a great job. What to speak, Krishna gave it. Through his representative, Sri Vyasadeva. So, these are the general understanding of Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And one more interpretation is given by Shankaracharya on the basis of Vishnu Purana. Utpattim pralayam chaiva bhutanam agatim gatim viti vidyam avidyam cha savvachyo bhagavan. Viti vidyam avidyam cha savvachyo bhagavan iti. So this means he is known as Bhagavan, who knows the origin, the end, the arrival, and the exit of all living beings, and also vidya and avidya. So another way it means he knows everything. We can't even begin to imagine what it means to know that he knows everything. But that must be a quality of God, otherwise he's not God. Otherwise avidya is stronger than him. So these are some of the qualities of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is known as Bhagavan. And practically all the qualities that are described here in Vishnu Sahasranam, all these names, they can be gathered under the one name Bhagavan. Because they describe, all these names describe his different qualities, different characteristics, and so on. And if we try to fit any of these names to the name Bhagavan, it exactly fits. And if we try to, the next word is, all of these names, Bhagaha, that comes as the next name. All these names fit within the description Bhagavan. And they all fit within the name Krishna, because Krishna is Bhagavan. So, Hare Krishna, any question about this, please? No? Yeah.
We should not worship demigods.
We should not worship demigods, that's a general rule, but to be more specific, we should not worship demigods considering them to be separate gods from Krishna.
So this Vastu Shastra Panchang.
Vastu Shastra following Panchang. Well, we have a Vaishnav Panchang also, Vaishnav Almanac, I guess. Such things can be followed if we understand that the Vastu Purusha is servant of Krishna. These various sciences and arts have been given by Krishna to help us live in this world. So we need not reject all of that.
What extent do we have
to what extent? That will have to be seen practically in our life, because there's no way you can measure it exactly. As far as Vastu is concerned, yeah, if you're going to build a house, it's a good idea to use that. But at the same time, we don't depend on it only. This Vastu became popular just in the last 20 years or so. It must have been there in the past, but otherwise we were building buildings and doing so many things without that. So yeah, this is all part of Vedic culture and can be incorporated as long as we keep Krishna very clearly in the center and not become so concerned with Vastu, for instance, or understand that ultimately everything is Krishna's mercy.
But still we say that Krishna is superior, or Krishna is Paramahansa. Why is that so?
Why is that so? Well, I just discussed that a few days ago in the class. So why do we take Krishna to be the Supreme Personality of Godhead, distinguished from other forms of the Lord? So what was the answer? Just a few days ago I spoke on this. Maybe 2 days ago. Yeah. Four qualities which Narayana does not possess, which are Rupa Madhuri. Rupa Madhurya, you could say. His extraordinary form is so beautiful that it's attractive even to Narayana. Then? Venu Madhuri. He plays a flute, which Narayana, he doesn't. Leela Madhuri. Exquisite pastimes. And one more. Prema Madhuri. His devotee has so many devotees who are fully surrendered to him, fully absorbed in thought of him. So of course Narayana also has devotees, but not so many, and not so many who are actively involved in making Krishna's pastimes. Krishna's pastimes are very elaborate. Anything else? No. All right then, Hare Krishna. All glories to His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada. Hare Krishna.